all God's people said, amen, hallelujah. First, open your Bibles to the second chapter of Mark. You know, we're sort of in this same vein about changed lives being the evidence of a real God, a holy God. That God's requirement is, or rather the fruit of God's presence in a life, is a changed life. And I don't know how long we're going to be on this topic. I just know we're not done. You know, I don't know anywhere else to put it. I know that there are going to be times that as we continue on this topic, I'm going to say the same thing over. You know what? That's just how it goes. That's how it goes. All I know is that God's not done with us. What that means to me and what I believe it should mean to you is that God wants change. God wants us to be so absolutely on fire for Jesus Christ that we cannot stop talking about Him. You know, this is not about you being a better person or me being a better person. This is about Jesus Christ making a difference in our lives. About people being able to look at you and say, man, what is going on in that person's life? Whatever they got, I want some of it. You know, it's like people looking at you. You ever looked at someone and you seen the light of, you just see something in their face. You see something in their face and it's just, wow. That's what God wants in all our faces. And here's where we are. You know, and I don't, the problem I have as a pastor is, on the one hand, I don't want to be condemning. I don't want you to leave here every Sunday and feel guilty. I don't want that in my heart of hearts, but yet I know that until sin is confronted, it's like we stay in a spiritual blindness. It's like we're unable to come out of it until the Holy Spirit just moves in our hearts and our lives. And some of you, if you think this morning that I'm talking to you, I'm not talking to you, but God may talk to you. And don't get the two confused. Because I can just tell you something. Preachers don't like, we don't like being confrontational. You know, I don't like it. But if I do it, if I do something that I don't want to do, then that should tell you that I'm not doing it. See, the problem that the Church of Jesus Christ has today is described. You stay right where you are in Revelation. I'm going to read it to you. It's in the book of Revelation. This is where the Church of Jesus Christ is today. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write these words. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, what do you think lukewarm people, how do they behave? What would you think a lukewarm person would look like? You know, to me, a lukewarm believer pretty much just, you know, goes with the flow. It doesn't really matter to him what sin is or what truth is or what untruth is. Doesn't matter to him. Nothing matters. There is no hot. There is no cold. It's just, you know, everything's okay. If that doesn't, does that not define the politically correct church today? Everything's okay. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I mean, that's a pretty strong words, don't you think? You know, why didn't Jesus say, well, you know, because you're lukewarm or because you're, you know, you're neither hot nor you're neither cold, well, I'll just sort of, you know, just encourage you along and you know, I'll just wait on you and I'll be patient with you, you know, and I'll just give you a little bit more grace and give you a little bit more. He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. It's like there is a repulsion to Jesus Christ of people who take His name, and they're just like everyone else. because you say I am rich and have become wealthy, have need of nothing. You do not know that you are wretched. You are miserable and poor and blind and naked. You understand? What? That is God's words to a lukewarm church. So why do you think it should matter to him or that we talk about lives being changed and the importance of that? Does that make sense? Does anybody have a question about that? It matters to him. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Those whom I love. Whoa. See there? Why would it matter? Why would God put a passion on a pastor? I don't think I'm the only pastor that's preaching this kind of sermon. Why would God put a burden, put a passion on lukewarm churches? Because He loves us. Isn't that great? It's because He loves us. He says, those I love, I reprove. I mean, think about it. A lukewarm church fits in with everybody else, and how in the world can it be light in the midst of a dark world? It is impossible to be light in the midst of a dark world if we are lukewarm. If we fit in, and if we take on the belief system of the world, the culture of the world, it is impossible for us to lead anybody out of darkness. That's what he's saying. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent. Behold, I stand at the door and I am knocking, he says. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him. You want to know Jesus Christ today in the way that he changes your life? He's knocking. He's been knocking on the door of your heart for weeks because he won't let me get off this topic. He won't let me go to something easy. Because he loves you. He's knocking on our hearts. Okay, go back to Mark. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to show you a man's life has changed. See, this is what Jesus did. Wherever Jesus came, the result of Jesus' presence was a changed life. Now, change may mean something. You ever watch television and they say something about some product they're trying to sell? You say, my life's been changed. You know, buying a Nissan didn't change my life. It's a nice car. It didn't change my life. A lot of things in life. You know, I tell you what the world will do is the world will try to convince you that the things that the world can offer you will change your life. But I'll tell you, that's an empty promise. You just look at what the world offers our wealthiest. It is emptiness. That's what the world offers. The world system, the world belief, that it offers emptiness. It is a lie. The reality of Jesus Christ, I'll tell you the reality of Jesus Christ, is that we're here after 2,000 years. And He is still changing lives. That is the reality of what He's saying here. That is the reality of what I'm saying to you, that Jesus Christ died on a cross, not so you'd come to church on Sunday. You realize that in the church today, you know how we define spiritual growth? Let me tell you how we define spiritual growth. We define spiritual growth by you showing up for an hour and a half. Some churches.
Start at 11. Preacher, you better be done by 12. Is that not so? Why? So here's what we've done. We've taught you that church is all about entertaining you, making you happy, making you feel comfortable. Whether it's the music, whether it's a preacher that doesn't talk about things you don't want to hear, just showing up every night, showing up when you don't. You know what? There's a race today. There are churches that are empty. If that race, you know, don't get me wrong, Race for the Cure, I'm all in favor of it. You know I'm a runner. You know, it's that separation of church and state thing. We don't want to go down that road because I'll be too loud. They have their races on Sunday, and we forgot that separation of church means that God gets Sunday. Now, the world has claimed our Sundays and taught the people of God that you are doing God a favor if you give Him an hour and a half on a Sunday morning. That's what lukewarm's all about. Okay, let's see what he says. Look at verse 13. Mark chapter 2. Jesus went out again by the seashore. And all the multitudes were coming to him, and he was teaching them. My goodness. Wonder what day of the week it is. Surely it couldn't be a day of the week other than Sabbath. I mean, he couldn't get all the people to come out and listen to him teach if it wasn't Sabbath. That's the way we think. That is the way we think. Now, why would I want us to see that? Because we got to repent. We just sang a song, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know I am God. You are not God. I'm not God. That's the way we've made it. But listen to what's going to happen to old Matthew here. Levi. In the Gospel of Matthew, he's called Matthew. In Mark and Luke, he's called Levi and Matthew. So it's the same person. Sometimes I'll refer to him today as Matthew, sometimes as Levi. And as he passed by, that would be Jesus, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. Well, I wonder what day of the week it was. Following Jesus on a day other than the Sabbath? He rose and followed him. You know that Luke's gospel, this same passage, adds these words. It says that Levi left everything behind. And he rose up and he followed him. Wonder what would you be willing to leave behind today to follow Jesus? I mean, let's suppose that Jesus wants to literally change your life. Okay? And change your life means this. Here's what changing my life means. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 says this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, mercy, faithfulness, and self-control. What that means is when God fills a life, that is how you will experience life. That doesn't mean that all your circumstances are going to change for the better. It doesn't mean that God's going to put $1 million in your bank account. It doesn't mean any of that, but it means that when you are in the midst of life, regardless of the circumstances, when you are filled with the Spirit of God, when He comes in and changes your life, this is what your life will be like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, what about that would not be a good thing? What about that would not be a good thing? So, Gary, stand up just a minute. Okay, Gary, tell me what's happened in your life in the last several weeks.
Okay, what's different about you? Carol, what's different about him? He's peaceful. Not as stressed. He's happier. Jonathan says he's not as gruff. Is that what Jonathan said? Not as grouchy? And what is it you've changed? He's happy. And what did you tell me you changed? Oh, you mean you showed up on the front lawn to pray? And that's all you did? I can't be. You mean that Gary found out that some men were praying together on the front yard, and he just decided to give 30 minutes a day to prayer, and now his wife describes him as happy, not grouchy, less stress, more peaceful. Why can't we get that? Why? You understand what I'm saying? The evidence of the truth of what I am saying is in this man's life. Now, I could ask other men to do the same thing. I could say to you this morning, my life as a believer in Jesus Christ. You know, all of us go through times in our lives spiritually where we move towards God. Let me tell you where the time was in my life when I made a jump towards the Lord. Two times. The first time was when I discovered that this book, that if I fed on it, I discovered that if I spent my time in this thing, that it would literally, the adjectives that Gary used, they became mine to describe myself. When I got into this Word, it wasn't about coming to church. The second time in my life where God, I would say, changed my life was when I discovered that prayer was not about telling God all the stuff that I needed. You know, it's amazing. It's like what I thought that, okay, here's, I need to tell God what's going on in my life. I need to pray for this and pray for this and pray for this and pray for this and pray for this. And I realized that prayer was about relationship. And that what happened to me is that when I saw prayer as a relationship, just like my relationship with my wife, prayer was a relationship with God. And if I spent some time with God in prayer, that prayer changed me. It wasn't about me giving God all these things. That, you know that Matthew 6 says that God knows everything you need before you even ask Him? So if God knows everything you need and everything I need before I ask Him, why does He tell me to pray? He tells me to pray without ceasing. The reason why He does that is because prayer puts you in the presence of God, and when you are in the presence of God, He changes your life. It's the same thing about worship. You remember the story we saw last week of the man whose life was changed? The man who was sent to the pool of Siloam, who was blind? Do you remember how the text closed and it said this? First, Jesus is simply, he talks about Jesus. He said, it's just a man named Jesus. I don't know who healed me, but it was a man named Jesus. And then before the text is over, the man is falling on his knees before Christ and he's worshiping Him. When we come into this place, it ain't for you to sing songs that you like. It's for you to worship God. And if you can get to that place, if you can get to that place where it's just about glorifying a holy God, you know what He'll do? He'll change your life. He will literally change your life. Levi in this story, you know, when Levi, did anybody see where I left my glasses? I'm really serious about it. Oh, here, I'm sorry. Let me look at Levi. Notice what the 14th verse says. Here's what the 14th verse says. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he sees Levi sitting in the tax office." He says to Levi, he says, "Follow me. Follow me." Levi, now remember, he's a tax collector. Okay? You know what a tax collector was in that day? That meant he was a sinner. That meant that the church of that day would have absolutely nothing to do with him because he was considered unclean biblically. He was unclean biblically, and because he was unclean biblically, in order for him to have any association with God, he had to first go through the process of ritual cleanliness. He had to bathe in holy water. The priest had to pronounce him clean, and now he could come and worship God. Okay, here's Levi. He's sitting behind his tax collector desk, and he's counting his coins. He's a first century Donald Trump. We saw Zacchaeus. We saw Zacchaeus 3 or 4 weeks ago. This is his brother-in-law or something. I don't know. But he's a tax collector. I mean, not literally. Levi is a tax collector. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. And they are so far away from God. These two men stand for this. You cannot be too far away from God. There's no person that Jesus cannot reach your heart and change you if you will yield to him. Zacchaeus, what did Zacchaeus do? He went and climbed up a sycamore tree in order to find Jesus. This man could have, when Jesus says, he says, "Levi, come follow me, man." I guarantee you Jesus wasn't yelling at him like I'm doing today. But he says, come follow me. Levi could have said, "Well, you know, somebody's got to count this money. You know, I got reports I've got to fill out. You know, I got a meeting with so-and-so. I know so-and-so's coming to pay a big bill. I got this I got to do, and I got that I got to do. You know, Jesus, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll see you at the synagogue on Sunday, on the Saturday. I'll see you later." Levi didn't do that. Jesus said, "Follow me." Levi left everything behind. He left his schedule. He left everything. He followed Jesus. You see, this is what happened to you and me. We got all these excuses, and that's all they are, excuses. Your schedules feel just like mine. Remember that sermon I gave one time? We all have, how many seconds is it in a day? 24,396 seconds. Let's just say that's how many seconds it is. You know what? Kurt, how many seconds do you have in a day? 24,300 something. Just say that. Okay, great. Okay, Carrie, how many seconds do you have in a day, Carrie Johnson? 20. Oh, you mean you got the same that he's got? Well, how about you, Dave Harris? How many seconds you have? Same. Somebody ought to have more seconds. How many do you have, Gary? You mean you got the same as everybody, and you can make it out there on the front lawn to pray? Oh, really? We're all in the same boat. There's not one of us any different. We have the same amount of time. God gives the same. Everybody's the same. Okay? But if you want God to change your life, when Jesus is passing by, you got to follow him. You know, I did an interesting study on this phrase, passing by. You realize that phrase is used 7 times in the New Testament? You know, you read that text and it says, well, Jesus was passing by. It's like, you know, it's no big deal. You know, Jesus was passing by and he said to Levi, "Hey, Levi, come on." But then I looked. Every time that phrase is used, you know what happens? Somebody's life is changed. And then I realized, Jesus isn't really passing by. No, Jesus has a plan. And when he's passing by, he's going to invite you for your life to be changed, just like Levi. What am I saying? I'll tell you one thing I know. I've been in the church 56 years. I'm 56 years old. And there's one thing I know. I've never seen the Spirit of God move like he is in this place.
Now, wait. Why am I saying that? Why am I saying that? Jesus is passing by. What are you going to do if Jesus is passing by? What are you going to do, Patty? What would it mean to follow Him for you? Let me ask you this question. Think of the people that are around you in your life. Your husband, your wife, your children, co-workers. Okay, now, let me ask this question. To those who are around you in your life, what is your spiritual odor? What is your spiritual aroma? Okay? Think it through. What if I asked your co-worker, your co-classmate, what is this person's spiritual aroma? What would they say? Would they say, man, it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, mercy, faithfulness, self-control? Would they say that? Or would they say, man, I don't know what is going on with such and such these days. They are so angry. They're so stressed out. They're so critical. I don't, you know, must be some things going on in their... You know what? You know why? Let me get... Everybody that's outside of these walls, there are a lot of people today and they're having a great time. Outside of these walls, wouldn't anymore think about being in this church and flying to the moon. And if we were to ask them, how come they're out there instead of in here, what do you think most of them would say? You know what I think it would be? Because we're in here. The people in the church keep people from coming to the church because we're hypocrites. See? That's what I think they'd say. They'd say, I remember the time I went and this happened. Or, I know my neighbor goes and look, I know what he does. Lukewarm Christians profane the name of Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? See, I'm saying that our lives are no different than anybody else's. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Jesus is passing by here. That means is the Spirit of God is moving in this place. The Spirit of God is moving because He has given you an invitation that says, follow me. Now, suppose you wanted to answer that invitation. What do you think it would require? Let me throw out the first thing. It's what the Pharisees didn't have. The amazing thing is that almost without exception, they are in every single passage where Jesus and the Spirit of God does an unbelievable work. Every single passage, they're there. They're in this one. Okay, what happens is in verse 15 is Levi invites all his tax collectors to a big party. And look at what happens in verse 16. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with the sinners and the tax gatherers, they began saying to his disciples, why is he eating and drinking with tax gatherers and sinners? And hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Now, let me see, make sure we are on the same page here. What Jesus is not saying is that he comes to do away with religious prejudice. That has nothing to do with social prejudice. It has nothing to do with religious prejudice. It has nothing to do with it. In that day and time, here's what they believed. They believed if the Jew associated with a Gentile, you were rendered unclean. And the Pharisees were following the Old Testament law. But here's the problem. Jesus is trying to change their view. He's trying to change their view of Scripture. And so what he does is every time he does a miracle, the Pharisees are right there and he's trying to confront their error in belief, their misinterpretation. He's trying to confront that. He's trying to change it. So how does that apply to you and me? You and I need to understand that when the Spirit of God is moving, when Jesus is passing by, in order for Him not to pass us by, my heart has to be open to what new ways He wants to do things. Look over in that last verse about patching cloth. He said, no one, Jesus says in that other verse, He says, no one takes old cloth and patches it with new because they'll tear apart. What He's saying is, I came to make things new, but you can't mix. You can't mix the ways of the world, the teachings of the world with my teachings. You can't mix them. One has to replace the other. And what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees is the same thing He's saying to you and me. If you and I want to follow Jesus, there are going to have to be some things that you change. Gary said he's going to, I hate to keep pointing Gary out, but Gary said, Gary's on the front lawn. Because why did he do that? Well, maybe because one day the Holy Spirit of God said, you know what? I want to change your life, Gary. And here's one way where the Spirit of God is moving, and I want you to come join. Now, here's what's going to happen whenever I say that to you. You know what's going to happen in your hearts, men? You're going to sort of back away. That's what happens. See, the flesh makes us sort of push away. Satan does the same thing. He says, you know, I don't have time for that. That may work to him, but it doesn't work for me. No, this is what you do. Always do the opposite of the flesh. That needs to be a principle. When it comes to the things of the Lord, you do the opposite of the flesh. And what you will do is you'll find yourself walking in the very midst of the Spirit. What Levi did, I'm out of time, but here's what Levi left everything behind. He left everything behind. There are things in your life and there are things in my life that are barriers to the movement of God's Spirit. And we got to cut them off. We got to let them go. We got to drop it off. Put it behind us. You know what you say? You know what we do when we get stressed out? What we do when we get stressed out and we get critical, when it looks like life's starting to push us in, you know what we do? We work harder. We work harder. You want to follow Jesus? The answer is not you working harder. The answer is you following Jesus. You pressing into Jesus. You identifying with Jesus. Do you? Oh my goodness! Look at what Levi does. It's beautiful. Levi follows Jesus, and what does he do? This is where we close. Look at verse 15. This is so beautiful. It came about that he was reclining at the table in his house, and many tax gatherers and sinners were dining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they were following him. Whose house do you think that is? It's Levi's house. You know what Levi did? He followed Jesus, and Jesus changed his life. Something's happening to Jesus. What is it? He goes and invites all his old sinner friends. They come to have a big party at Levi's house. Why? Because he's got a taste of Jesus. And he cannot stop talking about it. You want to follow Jesus. Open your heart. Humble yourself before God and say, God, I repent of my hard heart, of my taking you for granted. I repent, God, and I turn my face to you. I identify with you and all my friends. I'm going to make sure they know that I know this precious Jesus. I ain't going to stop talking about Jesus. And the Spirit of God will fill your heart. He'll fill your life. And your life will be love and joy and peace and patience. And people will love to see you coming around.
Your coworkers will love to see you here. They want you all around them. Because you got a little bit of Jesus. Your life's different. God is calling the church of Jesus Christ to stand up for Him and let Him change us. Doesn't want us walking in the flesh anymore. Doesn't want us doing what the world's doing. He just wants us loving Jesus. Trying to find Jesus. You know what, Lord? Put me on a mission to find Jesus. Just put me on that mission. You know what? I might miss here and I might miss there, but I'm going to be heading in that direction. Just put me on a mission to find Jesus. You're not on a mission to find Jesus this morning. How are you expecting to change your life? He wants to do that. It's like, just like Levi had the choice in that text. He could have sat right at that tax collector's desk. You got the same choice today. I'll tell you something. You let Jesus change your life. You'll never be sorry. I promise. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You love us so much. You confront us just like You love those Pharisees and confronted them. Father, it blessed my heart this week as I saw how You would not give up on those Pharisees. Every opportunity that You had, You tried to show them the way to Jesus. I'm also glad, Father, as I saw in the 9th chapter of John, that those Pharisees were finally sort of having a little difference of opinion as to who Jesus was. That's because You were just sort of knocking and whittling down everything that separated You from them. Father, I know there are people in this room just like those Pharisees. You're trying to move up against their unbelief. You're trying to move up against the things, Father, that are separating them from You, separating Your Holy Spirit from changing their lives. And I pray in Jesus' name right now You'd show them whatever it is. By the power of the precious Holy Spirit of God. Father, I pray for the person in this room right now who has yet to place their faith in Jesus Christ. How in the world can I leave everything behind until I have one I trust? How can I ever, Father, part with the things I hold on to so dearly until I realize that Jesus Christ died for my sins? Loved me so much. He climbed up on that cross and took my place. So I pray for the one, Father, who needs Jesus Christ as their Savior today. They wouldn't walk out of this place without saying, I trust Jesus Christ today as my Savior. And then I pray, Father, for the one who is stumbling, taking baby steps away from You for whatever, Lord Jesus, just not trying to find You. I pray for repentant hearts, God. One thing old Levi had was a repentant heart that caused him to get up off that table, from behind that table, and come to Jesus. For You to take him just like he was, Father. It's amazing You didn't cause him to get his life cleaned up. You just took him just like he was. Those Pharisees wanted him to get his life cleaned up. You took him like he was, just like You take us, just like we are. Forgive us, Father, when we do not distinguish the light and the darkness. I pray in Jesus' name that Your light, Your Holy Spirit, move in our hearts and souls. You'd loose Yourself. May we yield to You, O precious Jesus. Your head still bowed, Your eyes closed. I'm going to be here in the front of the sanctuary. There'll be a deacon standing beside me. However God's moved in your heart this morning, I encourage you to make that public. If you want to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior this morning, you just come and stand before me and say, I want to trust Jesus. We'll take care of the rest. However God's moving, You let Him have His way. Jesus is calling out to each one of us, follow Me, just like He did Levi. You come. In Jesus' name we pray, hallelujah, amen. Let's stand as our musicians lead us in singing.